Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sean, and it is Thursday, September 22nd, 2016, the first day of autumn, and we are here with you tonight for episode number 19 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. On tonight's show, we are going to bring you some exclusive Clash of the Champions this Sunday night. Raw, first ever exclusive pay-per-view of the new brand extension. We're going to bring you exclusive predictions from our point of view, so stick tuned. Those are coming up soon. Also, as always, WWE Raw and SmackDown results and reactions, only as we do it as best as we do. And, of course, our staple here on the show, WWE news and rumors coming at you hot and heavy. It's all here tonight live on Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. And now the moment you've waited for so long. Oh my goodness. Here he is, the host of the show, live from Cleveland, Ohio, Big T.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are back here for we got episode number 19 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. It's been a busy week for the podcast. I just want to say welcome back. I'm still out of breath because, because I was running around getting ready last minute, made sure we hit the air on time, so I'm just sitting here now still trying to catch my breath, but thank you, Sean, again for the wonderful introduction. Tonight. Well, before we get into everything, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's been going on with episodes number 17 and episodes number 18 of the podcast. On episode 17, last Wednesday night, we had Mr. Johnny Knockout, who wrestled Braun Strowman in Brooklyn, New York at the Barclays Center the night after SummerSlam. Johnny Knockout, he loves big sweaty men, and so do we, because last week, episode number 17 was the Big Sweaty Podcast, and it was a true honor to interview Mr. Johnny Knockout, and I hope we could have him back on the show again soon. And the next, let's see, was about 3 days later on a Saturday. I attempted to do episode number 18 with Mr. Jamin Olivencia, and we got part of it done, and then had technical difficulties. His phone cut out on him, so we couldn't continue that one. You could see part of it up on my YouTube channel if you guys want to watch it. So then, after that, and we hope to get Jamin Olivencia back on the show soon. I'm going to be working on that and see if we could schedule something with him to get an interview. So episode number 18 turned into Mr. Dave Dawson, referee for AIW Wrestling, which is an indie promotion out here in Cleveland, Ohio, and they got a big show coming on tomorrow night, folks, on Friday night. Johnny Gargano's last ever independent match. He's going to be facing his wife, Candice LeRae, in a 2 out of 3 falls match. And after this, Johnny Gargano's moving on to the big time, moving up to the WWE, so this is going to be a huge night, especially if you're from Cleveland, so you're not going to want to miss it. Dave Dawson told some great stories. I'll have the podcast, the links for last week's videos in the description so you guys can check it out. Do that. And let's see, what else did we have? If you want to watch it on YouTube, like I said, the links will be down in the description below. And you can listen to it on iTunes and Podomatic. I'm going to be uploading that very shortly. It's been a busy week. But other than that, folks, I'm trying to think what else I wanted to tell you, because I had it right here what I wanted to tell you, and Now it kind of slipped my mind, and I hate when that happens. But make sure any way that you like this video on YouTube, comment and subscribe. If you're listening to it on iTunes and Podomatic, make sure you leave a 5-star rating and subscribe to the podcast. It's all free. It doesn't cost you nothing, and you're doing yourself a favor because you're subscribing to the number one wrestling podcast on YouTube and on iTunes today. Make sure you hit that subscribe button.
Man, I don't think we ever got a follow-up on the podcast here about your experience at UFC 203.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because we had the interview last week. Well, I'm going to crack open this Mountain Dew Baja Blast, and there we go. Crack that open, I'll tell you about UFC 203. All right, ladies and gentlemen, UFC 203, it was a good show. I enjoyed myself. Not even going to speak of the CM Punk fight because that was the biggest disappointment I've ever experienced at a live event. And I am not a Mickey Gall fan at all, so I'm not even going to go there. That was just a complete disaster. So I'm just going to talk about the good parts. Stipe Miocic and Alistair Overeem had, even though it wasn't the longest fight, it ended in the first round, but it went 4.5 minutes. Some of the hardest hitting heavyweight championship action that you're going to see. It was incredible. Stipe Miocic is a hometown hero. Getting revered. I never heard the Quicken Loans Arena so loud in my life. It was incredible that that happened. And to see Stipe Miocic triumphant, there was nothing better, folks. Now, I'm going to tell you about next week what I got coming up. Well, I got AIW tomorrow night on Friday. On Tuesday night, I got SmackDown Live going back to the queue in Cleveland, where I'm going to get to witness Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles in their Backlash rematch for the WWE Championship. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see this. If I'm not mistaken, and I think I actually am accurate on this, but I'd have to go back and look at the history books. But I believe out of all the shows I've been to in Cleveland, out of all the SmackDown shows I've been to in Cleveland, and even just SmackDowns, you know, in general in Cleveland, or, you know, even if I went to a couple, you know, like in Columbus or out of state, I believe I've never been to a SmackDown where the WWE Championship has been on the line. It's happened at Raw. I've witnessed it at Raw before when Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar had the title on the line, you know, in San Jose the night after WrestleMania 31, and then Rollins ran through the crowd. But SmackDown, I believe it's never happened. So this is going to be awesome, and I can't even remember. Besides the Dean Ambrose-Seth Rollins match on draft night, I can't even remember the last time we've seen the WWE Championship in a match on SmackDown, you know, before the whole draft took place. So this is great, ladies and gentlemen. I can't wait to be a part of SmackDown Live on Tuesday, live in that crowd. It's going to be electric. The city of Cleveland's been rocking all month in September. And, you know, tomorrow night in Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church, the school gym, you know, saying goodbye to Johnny Gargano here. It can't get any better, folks.
Man, you got an awesome upcoming 5 days, and I'm sure everyone's going to tune into next week, episode number 20, to find out how it went and how much fun you had. Definitely wishing you a great time this week in wrestling. But it's that time of the week where we head on over to WWE Monday Night Raw results. This Monday Night Raw was live from Memphis, Tennessee, home of Jerry the King Lawler, WWE Hall of Famer. Roman Reigns came out and addressed his rivalry with Rusev to start the show, and then we had Seth Rollins taking on the U.S. champion Rusev that ended in a double countout. Braun Strowman defeated Sin Cara. And then we had the WWE Raw Women's Champion Charlotte and her tag team partner Dana Brooke defeat Sasha Banks and Bayley in a women's tag team match. Bo Dallas defeated Gary Graham. Cesaro, he defeated Sheamus in the best of seven series, which is now tied 3-3. And also, we had the WWE Raw Tag Team Championships. The New Day, Sami Zayn, Enzo, Amore, and Big Cass, they defeated the team of Chris Jericho, Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson, and the Shining Stars, Primo and Epico. And also, we had the Cruiserweight Division debut on Monday Night Raw. We had a number one contender fatal four-way for the Cruiserweight Championship this Sunday night at Clash of Champions. The competitors were Brian Kendrick making his WWE main roster return, Gran Metalik, Cedric Alexander, and Rich Swann all battled it out to become the number one contender for the WWE Cruiserweight Champion. And Brian Kendrick was victorious, and now Brian Kendrick will be taking on TJ Perkins this Sunday at Clash of Champions. And that is not all. We had Roman Reigns defeat the WWE Universal Champion Kevin Owens in a steel cage match via escape. Now, at the end of the match, we had some interference by Seth Rollins. And Rusev, Seth Rollins notably jumped cross body style off the top of the cage, taking down the new, the heels of the company now, Rusev and Kevin Owens, pretty much solidifying Seth Rollins in, a WWE approved babyface position. And that was what happened this past Monday night on WWE Raw, live from Memphis, Tennessee, Big T. You gave it a 10 out of 10 on the live review. Are you sticking with that? And what did you think of it?
Well, I watched it back, you know, and went through all of it. And I got to tell you, I thought Raw was solid. I mean, even though it might not be a popular thing to say, but I really thought that Raw was good. I really did. And, you know, I know that a lot of times I'm critical. I don't know, something about this week, I don't know if I was just overexcited. Weights, or, you know, I don't know. I honestly, honest to God, you know, have to tell you that Raw was good this week. So I'm going to stick by what I said this week. And I know, you know, a lot of times I end up flip flopping and, you know, that does happen, but you know, this week I'm going to stick with it, but I do have to be honest. You know, it's just, I'm not happy with the women's division. I'm not even going to, get into that. I mean, you guys know where my feelings are in that respect. Is Charlotte, and I'm sure if you guys watch the Raw review back, I didn't even watch the match. I don't care to see Charlotte, to hear Charlotte anymore. I really don't. I don't care. And you know what? I'm not going to aggravate myself with it anymore. Same thing with Eva Marie. She comes on, the channel will be changed. Because you guys know how I feel. It's not worth, you know, my aggravation to spike my blood pressure with Charlotte. So you guys know how I feel. It is what it is. And pray to God that she loses, the title very soon. That's what I'm hoping. I really hope that she loses the title very soon. The cage match, guys. One thing I gotta tell you with the cage match. Okay. I understand that, you know, the WWE to push Roman Reigns. They have this fantasy of pushing Roman Reigns, and it's not working. It really is not working. You know, they gave him a win against Kevin Owens, and you know, it was what it was, guys. It was good though. It was a good match. I don't know what they're thinking. Kevin Owens should have won the match, but they didn't do it. One of the best parts of the night was Seth Rollins, doing that incredible leap.
We lost your audio. But yeah, Big T was just getting on to the point, like, where Seth Rollins just came out of nowhere, climbed that cage, scaled that cage, a beautiful crossbody off the top of the cage, taking out Rusev and Kevin Owens. And I was want to ask Big T this, but I believe this is Kevin Owens' first ever steel cage match in the WWE. So that's something of note.
Okay. Am I there?
Yep.
Alright. Well, like I said, Seth Rollins jumping off the top of that cage, that was one of the incredible things that I have ever seen. It was reminiscent to the Chris Jericho Bray Wyatt dive off the top of the cage, which I loved. You know I love that. So yeah, I mean, they set it off with a bang. But honestly, the best part of the night was the cruiserweight match. The cruiserweight match, the Fatal 4-Way number one contender cruiserweight match was the best part of the night. It really was. I mean, you had Rich Swann, you had Cedric Alexander, Brian Kendrick, and you had Grand Metalik. And it was absolutely freaking awesome. It was one of the best matches I've seen, definitely match of the night. That is what made Raw the highlight that it was. But I gotta tell you, I know, you know, some may feel that they went a little over the top with changing the color and everything. I mean, me personally, I liked it. And I gotta tell you, I think the cruiserweight division definitely deserved it, because the cruiserweight division, you know, has not been showcased on WWE TV for how long now? Like maybe 10 years. And the cruiserweight division is one of the most prestigious divisions that there ever was. And, you know, can't get much better than this. So to have those guys go out there and fight Brian Kendrick, getting the win to take on TJ Perkins, you know, all that good stuff, absolutely awesome. So, I mean, just taking those few little plot points from Raw and putting it all together, I gotta stick with my rating of a 10 out of 10. I mean, I really did enjoy it. I really did. So, Raw, I'm definitely sticking with it. Everybody here, let's see, we just had our buddy Evan check in here with us real quick.
How you guys doing tonight?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Doing alright. Well, I know that you wanted to give your thoughts on Raw and SmackDown real quick, and we got about 15 minutes or so left here in the Raw and SmackDown part of it. I just concluded my thoughts on the Raw, and if you want to go on and tell us what you rated Raw and what you thought of it and your likes and dislikes, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought it was a good show this week. You know, some people, I heard rumors that, wanted to take the belt off Owens because the ratings aren't good. I really don't see any need in doing that. Like I said, I thought it was a good show this week. I like the beginning of the show. I liked how they have everything set up and everything like that for Clash of Champions. But yeah, the real thing that I really liked was with the cruiserweights, the fatal four way they had. I thought it was a very good match. I liked the outcome. I felt Brian Kendrick should have won. That's what I thought was going to, and I'm glad he did. So I think it'll be an amazing match at Clash of Champions for the Cruiserweight Championship.
Oh yeah, gonna be awesome. What was your rating this week?
I'd probably give it an 8 out of 10.
Not bad.
Cool. Well, definitely want to welcome Evan back to the show, man. Hope you're doing good.
I am. How are you, man?
Doing great, buddy. We're going to head on over to the SmackDown side of things now with the WWE SmackDown results live from Birmingham, Alabama this past Tuesday, September 20th, 2016. Backlash. Or never mind. That was last week. Backlash Fallout. Just a normal old SmackDown here from Birmingham. We had things turn volatile in No Mercy SmackDown's women title contract signing. The Usos, they defeated American Alpha to become the number one contenders to the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. Baron Corbin defeated Apollo Crews in singles action. Intercontinental Champion The Miz defeated Dolph Ziggler yet again on Tuesday Night SmackDown. Randy Orton, he defeated The Rock's WrestleMania opponent, Eric Rowan. Nikki Bella and Naomi defeated Natalya and Carmella via disqualification. And in SmackDown's main event, building up to next week's main event, live in Cleveland, Ohio, which Big T will be attending, Dean Ambrose defeated John Cena. Alert the presses, setting up a World Heavyweight Championship match next week. AJ Styles taking on the number one contender, Dean Ambrose, in singles action at the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland. Big T, this is setting up, like you talked about in your monologue, quite the SmackDown memory for the WWE Universe. Definitely got to get your guys' opinion on this past week's SmackDown. And what do you think of this championship match live next Tuesday in Cleveland, Ohio?
I got to tell you, this championship match taking place in Cleveland, Ohio, I can't wait to see it. Super excited. I'm about as excited as I ever was to attend a SmackDown show. And to be able to, it's not the first ever episode of SmackDown Live, but it is the first ever episode of SmackDown Live in Cleveland, Ohio. So proud that I get to be a part of this and that they're starting it off with a bang with a championship matchup. I could not be happier. I mean, as far as the rest of SmackDown goes, I feel that Becky Lynch's promo was cringeworthy. Like how she was talking about she wasn't born to be a champion, you know, she just worked her ass off to be a champion. I didn't really get her promo. Her promo was rather cringeworthy to me, but I love Alexa Bliss's character with that little firecracker that she is. And as far as Apollo Crews, Baron Corbin should be getting a push because at least we kind of know who Baron Corbin is, you know, and we really don't know who Apollo Crews really is, but basically has no character, almost no personality, and that's why Apollo Crews is just floating around in the mid-card hell, so to speak. And that's just how it's gonna be. Apollo Crews needs to get a character established. Randy Orton and Eric Rowan, why is this even happening? It goes to show you, even though I will say SmackDown is making more sense than Raw this week, and maybe overall, But I gotta tell you guys, you know, a couple of things which does not make sense. Like Baron Corbin facing off with Jack Swagger, you know, just standing outside the ring staring at each other. Why are they gonna get put in a feud? Reason. Why are they fighting? What is their beef? What is the story behind their match? There is none. They're just throwing them into a match. Just like Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. Why are they fighting? It's the same old shit that comes out of the mouth of Bray Wyatt every fucking time he speaks. He talks a big game. He can't back it up. He always ends up getting his ass handed to him in a match. And what is his ordeal? What is his beef with Randy Orton to make him want to go after Randy Orton? Why? Why are they fighting? I get it. Okay, at Backlash, they made sense of it when Wyatt attacked Orton and his leg, and, you know, Orton would want to get retribution for that. But before that, after SummerSlam, why are they fighting? What is the real reason, and what is, you know, the story behind the match as to why it got started? And this is one thing WWE really needs to think through if they want to have better shows. Their shows have been good. Like SmackDown 2, I gave it a 10 out of 10. I thought SmackDown was awesome. And, you know, for those people that say, oh, fuck John Cena shits on everybody's career. John Cena doesn't care about anybody but himself. You know what? John Cena's going to have to take hiatus to film American Grit. Think about it. He put over Dean Ambrose. Clean. He's putting over guys like he put over Styles. Now he put over Ambrose. He's not, Cena is putting over guys that are going to be in the championship picture. He is thing that is for the better of the company. He could have played the Hulk Hogan creative control card and said, screw this. I'm not losing to Dean Ambrose or AJ Styles. I got to go out there and win. But you know what? John Cena didn't do that, and that's because John Cena is a company guy, and he wants to help the company rather than hurt it. So Dean Ambrose got his life on Thursday night, and then Daniel Bryan making the announcement for the title match. SmackDown was great. I gave it 10 out of 10. And let's toss it over to Evan here to give a few thoughts.
Yeah, and I will agree with you. I thought SmackDown was a good show. I thought last week live in Philly, I was there. I thought it was a decent show as well. But, you know, I will agree with you with some of the storylines. Why would Jack Swagger and Baron Corbin, why would they be feuding? You know, it doesn't make sense. It's not like they
Jack Swagger is cringeworthy too. Like, I you know, I wish him the best, but – you want to talk cringeworthy? That's bad.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Jack Swagger, I agree. Total cringeworthy.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's not like they've ever crossed paths at all, you know? I mean, even when before the brand split, they never, you know, they never even touched each other. So that really doesn't make sense to me. But Big T, I actually might have an answer for you as to why Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt had their feud going on. I mean, it's not much of a story, but I think if you remember dating back to Night of Champions last year, when Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose were looking for a partner to face against the Wyatts, it was Randy Orton, and they were going to pick Randy Orton, and Randy Orton got attacked by the Wyatts, and that's how he got written off TV.
Oh, okay.
So that may be, I mean, they haven't mentioned it at all. That's the confusing part, that they haven't mentioned it one little bit.
Yeah, like, that definitely, you brought up a great point there, Evan. Like, yes, that could definitely be a building block. But as to why they're not mentioning it to put it into their programming, I have no idea.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Alexa Bliss, I thought, has been on fire these past couple weeks. Just, you know, by the live crowd's reaction last week, they love her. You know, there was a pretty big pop for her. The only other thing, you know, I think what's going on in the women's division's great. On SmackDown, you know, Becky Lynch finally getting her shot, Alexa Bliss coming up, and that's really the future of the women's division. But, you know, Nikki Bella, as we all know, came back at SummerSlam, and she was on the heel team. And then, now she's tag teaming with Naomi, who's a face now, and that it doesn't make sense why they made the switch like that. You know, I understand maybe the reaction at SummerSlam was positive. It was positive for Nikki, and maybe WWE didn't like that, but what were they to expect? You know, a lot of little kids like the Bella Twins, and it's a return, you know? I mean, there's gonna be a pop for any type of return, no matter who it is. So, I mean, I don't know whether they pulled the switch like that real quick, but that was a little confusing to me why, you know, one month she's a heel on the heel team and doing heel things, and then the next night on SmackDown Live, Carmella attacks her, and Carmella's supposed to be this heel, and Nikki Bella's supposed to be the face. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's nothing really to cry about, but it's small things like that hurt a good show. But overall, I'm going to give this one also an 8 out of 10.
Sounds awesome. One thing I wanted to touch on real quick, because I forgot to touch on it, is basically, guys, if you missed The Miz and Dolph Ziggler on SmackDown Live for the Intercontinental Championship, don't worry, because if you saw Backlash, you basically seen the exact repeat happen on SmackDown this past Tuesday, except Maryse got thrown out of ringside and Miz was the one that used the spray can to spray Ziggler in the face and get the win. This will lead to an Intercontinental Championship match with the stipulation on it at No Mercy, whether it be a cage match or a ladder match, or they're going to do something. I just don't know what, but while we got a couple of minutes here, I just wanted to touch on that. Sean, do you have any quick comments that you'd like to give about Raw and SmackDown?
It isn't always easy to know where you stand financially. Multiple accounts.
Pop-up attack. just real quick, I might as well go over the ratings, you know, working into news and rumors here.
Okay.
Raw ratings for this week were substantially low. Yeah, here we go. The toprowpress.com reports. The show Monday Night Raw drew a 1.97 cable rating for the week. It's up from last week's 1.88. However, don't get your hopes up considering this. This week's Raw was not able to bring in 3 million viewers for any hour of the show. This week's show was one of the lowest rated shows since the 1990s. This continues a downward trend in ratings and viewers that Raw can't seem to shake. Raw was number 6 on cable for the night, falling behind the NFL, Major Crime, Special Report with Brett Baier, The O'Reilly Factor, and The 5. It was number 4 in the 18 to 49 demographics behind the NFL, SportsCenter, and Love and Hip Hop. Things don't look much better for the show next week when it faces stiff competition from Monday Night Football and the first presidential debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I know what I'm watching, and it's not Raw. It'll be interesting to see what, if anything, they change to counter that programming. Oh, my, my. I think next week is probably going to be the lowest rated Raw of all time. Mark my words. The debate's easily going to have over 30 million viewers. It's just how it's going to be.
Well, now that we're in the news,
let's
portion of the segment,
I'm just going to carry it out here real quick with SmackDown's ratings.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, TV by the numbers blows. SmackDown Live ratings, the lowest since they've moved to Tuesday night. Last week drew 2.658, and this week only drew 2.292. So maybe next week from Cleveland, Ohio with the title match, it'll pick things up for the blue brand, but Monday Night Raw suffering the lowest ratings since 1997 and the second lowest ratings, including those dreaded holiday edition episodes. So Stephanie's got to pick up her game. SmackDown is, seeming to top out the ratings book, but Big T, we are ready and we are going over to, news and rumors for this week. So those were your ratings.
All right. Now that we're in the news and rumors portion of the show, I guess we're going to talk about this because this is what I had planned, to definitely talk about the ratings and the sad state of the WWE as we're in right now. Where do I start? Honestly, where do I start? My God. I'm speechless because especially now, Sean, that you told me the debate with WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump, a debate of this magnitude taking place on Monday night, Raw doesn't stand a chance. No. So obviously that tells me right there that Raw is going to go into this with the attitude of everybody's going to watch the debate, you know, 1.8, 1.9 rating anyway, so screw it, we're going to be lazy. And they're going to give us probably one of the worst shows. I don't think it'll be worse than the November, the show the night after Survivor Series 2015. I don't think it'll be worse than that. Things wise it will, but quality wise I don't think it will, but it'll be pretty damn close to it. I mean, this is a sad state of affairs. And if Stephanie's going to pick up her game, all she's got to do is come out, you know, wearing a nice short dress, looking pretty on Monday nights. And, you know, there you go.
Yeah, you know, I hope Raw doesn't do that, doesn't sit back, you know, because, I mean, this is going to be the first Monday Night Raw that's going to follow the first ever Raw pay-per-view, the first ever only Raw pay-per-view. So I think, you know, if you would do that and follow up with a bad show, especially if Clash of Champions isn't that great of a show,
just say they don't care about their loyal fan. I mean, like, yeah, we're loyal fans, but a lot of us want to watch the debate because it's so important. But like, you know, there are some fans out there that just, you know, they don't really care about politics. And if the WWE says, ah, screw it, then they don't really care about their, you know, core fans that'll watch it no matter what.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Take me, for example, Eric. I want to see it, but you know what? That debate is taking a back seat to Raw. I'm recording the debate, and I'm sitting down, and I'm watching Raw. The debate will come second.
Damn.
That's just how it is with me. The debate will come second. Nothing ever comes over wrestling for me. Nothing comes over Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-view. Nothing on TV will ever come over it. Not even the Cavs. And I'm a diehard Cavs fan, but not even the Cavs winning the finals came over Money in the Bank. You know what I did? I recorded the damn game. Because that's how much wrestling means to me. That's just me. I know that, you know, not everybody's like me. I'm probably someone that is a one, I wouldn't even say one in a million. I might even be one in a billion or one every couple hundred million. I'm a rare breed when it comes to the wrestling product. You know, one thing I can guarantee for sure is I want to see the debate, but I'll damn sure be in front of my TV on Monday night watching Raw. Nothing will stop that. Nothing. Do you have any thoughts, Guy or Evan? You wanted to say about the ratings, because I feel you haven't touched on it yet, I believe. Have you?
No, not really, you know, and, like I said, I hope the ratings get better. I really do. I think we all do. But you know, at the end of the day, when you have storylines like the Baron Corbin and Jack Swagger storyline, it hurts that because the beginning of the show everybody wants to see, the end of the show everybody wants to see, but the middle of that show is very important. Because if you can develop a good mid-card storyline, that keeps the viewers in. And if you can't, they're going to watch the first 15, 20 minutes and then tune out. That's what will happen every single time. Now, it turns out that they're not even watching the first 15, 20 minutes. You know, I mean, I'm watching it and, you know, I can't, Monday nights I do stay up for the whole time for Raw. Sometimes I don't. All depends on how I'm feeling. If I don't, I normally catch it in the morning. But you know, at the end of the day, the ratings have to get better. I think Vince knows that. The writers know that, and I hope these ratings don't prompt them to do something drastic that could hurt them in the long run. Like, in my mind, don't take the title off Kevin Owens at Clash of Champions. You need to build him as this big heel who's real, who's a real champion, not some guy who won the title on Raw because Finn Balor got injured, and then he'll in his first ever WWE major title defense.
He didn't win it because Balor, well, he did win it because Balor got injured, but also because Triple H is a, you know, piece of crap.
Yeah, and if he loses the title, what does that say to the casual fan? Oh, well, Kevin Owens is just, he needs help every time. He's not good at all. Like, no, come on. He is good. You gotta build him, and the ratings cannot let, I guess the word I'm using is affect. The ratings cannot affect your decision. You have to stick with the plan you were going to do before the ratings even came out for this week. You just got to stick to the plan. And it is sometimes when you do, it's better in the long run. And I think this is one of those situations.
Yeah, I think they'll stick with Owens for a little bit. I think this is all going to lead towards something's going to happen in Clash of Champions. Well, which is going to lead. What was that, Sean?
Well, would it be okay, you know, if we sort of save this type of talk for our Clash of Champions predictions part? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I got you.
Hey, Evan, do you think you'll be able to stay on with us for the rest of the show?
Probably not, man. I probably got about, are you guys starting news and rumors now? Because I probably got about 5-10 minutes left.
Yeah.
I'll stay on a little bit for those.
Okay,
bud. A couple of them with you.
Awesome. Now, for my first story of the night, WWE, former star, Cody Rhodes. Speaking of Stardust, Cody Rhodes. He will be making his TNA debut tomorrow, the taped Impact Wrestling episode from Orlando, perhaps by pre-recorded video. TNA posted a teaser for the debut, and it was retweeted by actor Stephen Amell. Oh, imagine that. In the teaser, Rhodes' Triforce tattoo is shown under his wedding band. As noted, TNA recently announced that Brandi Rhodes, Cody's wife, has signed and will be wrestling in the Knockouts division. So, do we think this will help TNA standings? Is anything going to help TNA as long as it's on the POP network? And thanks again to Mark Middleton of WrestlingINC.com for this report.
Let's see, is everybody still there?
Yep.
All right. Well, with Cody Rhodes, TNA not surprised. What I am surprised about is to hear that his wife is going to be wrestling in the Knockouts division. That kind of shocks me there.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys feel about that, but that, that shocks me big time.
Yeah, I did not see that one coming.
I
think the bigger shock is that TNA is even still on the air at this point.
Exactly, yeah. TNA is, oh man, it's a mess.
Oh, TNA's been a mess for a while now.
You said you got a major update?
Yeah, I got a major breaking news story on the update of the sale of TNA. Just crossed. This story came through right as we were going on the air. So this is a brand new story. Evan, are you sticking around for this one or are you checking out?
I'll stick around for this one and then I'll check out.
Okay. Major backstage update on the potential sale of TNA Wrestling. This is according to, the Wrestling Observer newsletter, of course, Dave Meltzer. Here are the latest details on the potential sale of TNA Wrestling, courtesy of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Billy Corrigan, president of the promotion, and is the main guy in charge running the company right now. Corrigan is looking to purchase full control. Former TNA president Dixie Carter is now largely out of the decision-making process, but she still owns 70% of the company at this time as we speak right now. Dixie reportedly knows that she needs to sell the company because they need the money to go forward. TNA is very, and I repeat, very deep into debt right now. Now, as far as Sinclair Broadcasting, those ROH's parent company and WWE are concerned. Both interested for different reasons. Sinclair was reportedly very interested several months ago, and for this is that they would get television contracts for India and England. It's for pro wrestling that pay and national exposure in the United States on Pop TV. In addition to the current syndication, WWE has always been interested in the TNA tape library and would use many of the talents on the current roster for NXT. WWE traditionally pays $500 per hour when they acquire tape libraries. According to one WON, WWE would likely offer TNA around $1 million for their entire tape library, with WWE having more former TNA talent under contract. The value is greater than ever. The feeling is that WWE would only be the winning bidder if there was a TNA fire sale and the company completely went under. Also, there is reportedly another serious bidder involved. They want to get into the pro wrestling business for the content that it offers. This company would want to run live events and also work with the major domestic, not WWE companies, as well as international companies in terms of using talent. This would include New Japan Pro Wrestling, AAA, etc. The unnamed company would be looking at making a lot of different moves into wrestling, with a potential TNA purchase being only one of them. In addition to Billy Corrigan and others, Aerolux is still a potential buyer. As previously reported, they are the current creditor that TNA owes the most money to right now. The money owed continues to increase after each TV taping and etc. There are those involved with the company that feel, with all the current debt that the company has, that they may be forced into bankruptcy. Dixie Carter is reportedly for $4 million to $6 million for her current 70% stake in the company. If TNA gets a new buyer, the company will still have to find new streams of revenue. Despite being their major revenue streams right now, the UK and India TV deals are not enough to cover all the current expenses. The average TNA TV taping cost $600,000 to $800,000. That is why they tape weeks in advance over the course of several days. So I know that was a lot to take in. That was a big story. We'll start off with Sean, then we'll go to Evan. How do you guys feel about this? Sean, you're up, bud. Sean is waiting.
I hope
WWE buys.
Would you be interested in watching the tape library?
Yeah, definitely would. I mean, I don't think they have the greatest library, like WCW quality. But they did have some really solid years there going back a couple years before I got back into it. So it would be every wrestling fan's best interest if it stayed in a wrestling company's, pocketbook, like, you know, for our own historical articles, like if we were to do this day in wrestling history or, you know, just to go back and be able to watch something for historical reference, I think it would be in every wrestling fan's best interest that the WWE, bought them and had it added into their network. Because I think, you know, people may hate on the WWE, but there's no company in the world that cares more about wrestling and wrestling history and preserving the form of entertainment. Now, of course, it's always good to have some competition out there. And, you know, once WWE buys TNA, that leaves plenty of room for the next underdog to try and come up and take a swipe at the big dog. So I hope, WWE buys them and preserves their, archives, just like they've done for many other great companies.
Very well said, Sean. Evan, what about you?
You know, I'm going to agree with Sean on this one. I think what's best is probably if WWE would just buy it. Not only, I mean, the video libraries, I mean, that would be just awesome, you know, to see, you know. TNA was decent. They did some good stuff back then, you know. AJ Styles was there, and Kurt Angle was there for a little bit, and Sting and stuff. They had some decent shows, and I think it would be good for wrestling fans to get to witness that again. But also, I'm looking at if WWE would buy it, let's say, you know, they would put some of the superstars down in NXT. I think that would be huge for NXT. I know, you know, you already got Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, James Storm was there for like a couple of tapings, I think, like an episode or two. But I think, you know, if you would get some of these guys, you know, take two or three guys, put them on the main roster. But then take like some of them, take some of them like a James Storm or something and just put them down NXT for a couple months. I think it could strengthen the NXT brand while you're developing these other guys, have these veterans work with these younger guys, have them teach them. And I think it could really help WWE out, you know, and, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You know, in the long run, I think it could really help him out. And I think Vince would be interested in that as well.
You know what, Evan? I definitely agree. I agree with you and Sean. I agree that WWE needs to get the tape library. I mean, obviously we know that won't happen if, you know, unless TNA has to totally go bankrupt, which I don't want them to go bankrupt. I would like to see them go on and see them prosper. But if it turns out where there's no hope for them, I would want WWE to get their hands on the library and definitely have that a part of the network, because I remember TNA had so many great shows. I would love to be able to relive that rather than TNA just, you know, go off in the sunset and we can never see it again. So, you know, I'm hoping that TNA could either stay afloat with new ownership or sell the library to the WWE. But, Evan, is that your last story that you're staying on for?
Yeah, man, I'm probably out. I just want to thank you guys. You know, it was a short time, but I really wanted to come on. I wanted to come on for a couple weeks just to really find time. I just want to thank you guys for having me on.
Evan, it was a pleasure having you on.
All right, see you guys.
See you, Evan.
See you, Evan. Do you have any more stories that you'd like to share?
Not right now. Go for it, man.
All right. Well, let's see what we got here for another story. This is a very interesting one. WWE reportedly interested in Matt Hardy, or as TNA calls him, Broken Matt Hardy. So let's read into this one, because this one broke also, you know, slightly before we hit the air, probably about a couple hours before. The source is the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Another Dave Meltzer piece of news. According to a report from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, WWE is interested in Matt Hardy. WWE has reportedly sent out feelers. Hold on here, I got to pop up. WWE has reportedly sent out feelers to him through intermediaries. While his current TNA wrestling contract does not expire until the spring of 2017, Triple H is reportedly the guy who is pushing for Matt Hardy to return. With that being said, Hardy currently has a ton of creative control in regards to his character in TNA wrestling. Hardy can reportedly make his own schedule in comparison to a full-time WWE schedule, which is brutal. Also, he is doing very well financially with his TNA deal. Independent dates and very good merchandise sales. Man, after hearing that, Broken Matt Hardy be on his way to WWE? And if so, who would you guys want to see him face? Because, you know, for a while there, it was all about Jeff Hardy, you know, making the comeback and, you know, being the one to come back to the WWE. And now Jeff Hardy, it doesn't seem like the one for that anymore. So I don't know. It's big news. It really is big news. And I would like to see Matt Hardy in WWE. Sean, how do you feel of this whole situation here? If we have Sean available. He may not be available at the moment, so I'm just going to move on here and ask him when he can.
Is posting our video all over Facebook and all over Twitter. So if you're tuning in right now, hello, 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 and welcome to Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast, episode number 19. And Big T was talking all about, in our news and rumors segment, Broken Matt Hardy being, you know, being sought out by the WWE once again. You know, Matt Hardy, it doesn't seem like too long ago he was with the WWE. He had his ups and downs. If WWE is really interested in him, I find it hard to believe that they would go with just Matt Hardy. I mean, we talked about Jeff Hardy coming back many times here on this show. I sort of see them as an inseparable deal, just like the Dudley Boys. You can't have the Hardys. You can't have one Hardy without the other. It's just bad business. But speaking of bad business, are the Hardys bad business? Are they a safe, bet
Have they earned their second chance? I think they have. And I think it would be pretty great to have a segment, you know, WWE's on great terms with Edge and Christian and both of the Dudleys, to have all of the contenders of all those famous TLC matches in one ring again would be really important for the WWE and their fans. So I hope it happens, but do I think it'll happen? I really don't know. I don't care too much. Like, I could live without it happening, but I'm sure there are a lot of fans that really want it to happen. So for them, all the, you know, all the power to you.
Very well said. I just got a message in our chat from, let's see, before we move on, the 1997 H-Man. He says hi, so want to say hi back to you, the 1997 H-Man. Thank you for watching. Getting viewers coming in here. Let's see.
Now, I do have a big story here. I was talking to you about it earlier here tonight. We all remember the news and rumors after SummerSlam when Chris Jericho confronted Brock Lesnar for his ruthless attack on his friend Randy Orton. Well, finally, Chris Jericho is breaking his silence about the altercation at SummerSlam. And was he being a mark over the finish? Oh my goodness. William Windsor of WrestlingINC.com reports, recently on Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen, professional wrestling legend Chris Jericho spoke about his behind-the-scenes altercation with the Beast Incarnate Brock Lesnar following the abrupt and bloody finish to WWE SummerSlam's main event between Lesnar and the Viper, Randy Orton. According to Jericho, he and Lesnar got in a brouhaha as Y2J wanted to check on Orton after the match with Lesnar. Jericho's quoted saying, "Well, anytime something like that happens, there's always a lot of rumors and a lot of stories being told and that sort of thing. But I mean, not to get into any specifics between me and Brock, but we did have a little bit of a brouhaha, shall we say. And I think that happens when you get guys that are in a sport such as ours. It's half entertainment and half real and half not," says Jericho. "And I think you get that he had just come out of the ring. I had just come out of the ring an hour before, so whatever. And I just thought the finish of the match was a very brutal and very violent, and I just didn't know if Randy was okay. And I was just checking on my friend. We have always been pretty close. And I said something, he said something, and the next thing you know, we're nose to nose, kind of yelling at each other. It diffused pretty quickly, but I mean, listen, let's make no bones about this. Brock Lesnar is a trained fighter and he's a beast. But I'm not the type of person to back down from anybody to my detriment or harmful to my existence even. But hotheads fire off, we were in each other's face, and that happens sometimes. I guess I kind of have a reputation for it too. I've never backed down, and I think in the case sometimes of this guy's size, they think that most people will, and most people do. But that's not me. That's not my background. That's not what I came up from. Coming up from Winnipeg, Manitoba, and my dad's lineage of being in the NHL, and it's just not what I do. So like I said, I'm glad he didn't eat me. Basically, there was a face-to-face altercation, and like I said, I'll leave the rest between the two of us." When asked by Sonnen whether Jericho was being a mark for being taken in by the match's abrupt conclusion, the master of the Saskatchewan spinning nerve hold indicated that he was not concerned about the finish, rather he was concerned about the health of his bloodied friend. Afterwards, Orton told Jericho that the match went down as planned. "Yeah, but it doesn't make me a mark to go check on my friend. I wasn't saying what the hell is going on with the finish. I was just saying, is Randy okay? That's what I did. And first of all, in 26 years of being in the business, I could do whatever the fuck I want," said Jericho. I'm not a mark. Second would be, I just was seeing how my friend was. Listen, whatever the finish is, it's not my business. Whatever they're doing or whatever happens, listen, man, that's the way it is. It's not my business. It's not my responsibility or my call. But when I see a friend of mine laying in a pool of his own blood, whether it's a work or not, that's real blood. That's a real concussion that he suffered. So I want to go check and see if he's okay, because we've had a 15-year history and we've gotten into fights ourselves. That's one of the guys I've been in the trenches with and will continue to be in the trenches with till the day one of us stops doing this. But I don't think there's ever anything wrong with checking on your friend, whether it's a work or not. If that makes me a mark, well, I guess I'm a mark for making sure my friend's okay. And you could check out the show, and if you use any of these quotes, please credit them to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen with a hashtag to WrestlingINC.com, and you could also hashtag Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. But yeah, so that was Chael Sonnen interviewing Chris Jericho in regards to the altercation at SummerSlam with the Beast, Brock Lesnar, Big T. Chris Jericho, your number one, always has been, always will be. What's on your mind?
I gotta tell you, I feel proud. I feel incredibly proud of Chris Jericho to have the guts, to have the balls, to stand basically face to face with the Beast, which has got to be almost like staring face to face into the abyss. But definitely took guts, and it goes to show what kind of a man Chris Jericho is. It also goes to show what a great friend that Chris Jericho is to his friends. The concern to, you know, actually get fired up enough to want to fight someone like Brock Lesnar to defend the honor of his friend because he didn't know what was going on. I feel proud. I feel proud of him. I feel great. Even more proud to be an alcoholic in the world today. So I'm just, you know, smiling ear to ear, and for Jericho to have the guts, the bravery, the courage, everything that he had, Y2J, his props. And Jericho, there will never be another better than you, my friend. I'm gonna close news and rumors with a few quick stories here that interesting. One is there a no DQ match to be added to No Mercy in another couple of weeks here? Listen to this. SmackDown GM Daniel Bryan indicated on Talking Smack on Tuesday night that a no DQ match between Nikki Bella and Carmella may be added to the WWE No Mercy pay-per-view event. Nikki Bella responded to Daniel Bryan on her official Twitter account. Nikki says, "Carmella causing our tag match to be 32 seconds and my neck to be in severe pain this week. I would gladly take her on in a no DQ match at No Mercy." So, I think that's great. Let Nikki have it. Give it to her. Those two go at it and have a nice big fight at No Mercy. I think that would be a great thing. And, what we got? I also got another, let's see, an interesting fact here. Definitely want to get these in before news and rumors is concluded, because I've seen these and these are pretty important. There's some superstars that are going to be on Chris Jericho's Talk Is Jericho podcast. WWE superstars Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows are both booked for Chris Jericho's podcast this week. Gallows and Anderson were on today's, today's podcast while talent manager producer, Shep Gordon will be featured, the feature guest on Friday. So if you want to catch Gallows and Anderson, you can catch him on Talk is Jericho. Now, here's an interesting John Cena win-loss statistic. Prior to losing to Dean Ambrose during the main event on Tuesday night's WWE SmackDown Live broadcast, the last time John Cena lost cleanly in a non-pay-per-view standard singles match was all the way back in October of 2009 when Cena lost to Triple H on a Raw TV. So 7 years, almost a decade. Absolutely incredible statistic there. Here's a short story. Got two more short ones. Considering stable with three SmackDown superstars. Listen to this. Shelton Benjamin is expected to return to WWE for the SmackDown brand upon his recovery from his rotator cuff injury. Now, according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, there is talk that the WWE may do a stable featuring Shelton Benjamin, Dolph Ziggler, and Jack Swagger. It will reportedly be a shooter's club and something similar to WWE's Varsity Club, featuring Rick Steiner, Kevin Sullivan, Mike Rotunda, Steve Williams, and Dan Spivey. So there you go. There's a little bit of a thing going on with a potential stable that we might all be witnessing. So just wanted to throw that in for, you know, a quick thing. And how I'm going to close out news and rumors this week, unless Sean has a story. Sean, do you have a story, or do you want me to go ahead with my last one here?
Hey, the floor is yours.
All right. Close out the news and rumors section for this week with this, and I'm sure you guys are interested. I know I've been. Backstage news. Devon, the Dudley Boys post-WWE future plans. So I know there were a lot of people thinking, can Bubba Ray and Devon be coming back to face the club once they become tag champs? Well, maybe this will give us a little update into that. Source, the Wrestling Observer newsletter. In an update on the Dudley Boys following their recent WWE departures, the duo is not likely going to be working together as a team on the indie scene. There are rumors that Devon may take on an agent role at the WWE Performance Center in Orlando, Florida. And Bubba Ray Dudley is open to working indie dates as a singles act. Let's see what we got here. Also, Bubba Ray and Devon still run their Team 3D Academy in Florida. So it looks like Devon is almost accepting that, you know, his in-ring time is done for him to be an agent in NXT. Be against it. You know, I think it would be a good move for Devon at that point. And, you know, whether or not Bubba, I still think Bubba can go. I think Bubba can Lee Ray and go on one more fantastic singles run before officially hanging it up. So, I mean, that's just a few ways I think. If Sean, if you have any closing words about these, any of these few quick stories that I just read to close on news and rumors, feel free to go ahead, brother.
Well, you did a great job. Definitely some hard hitting and, interesting reporting, but it is that time of the week. You know what it is? The return of Clash of Champions and our predictions. So, let's get to it.
All right.
Wikipedia says that Clash of Champions is an upcoming professional wrestling pay-per-view
and the WWE Network event produced by the WWE. It will take place on September 25th, 2016 at the Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana. It will be the first WWE event under the Clash of Champions chronology, replacing Night of Champions. It will also be the first Raw branded event following the second WWE brand extension starting the night after Battleground, July 25th, 2016. The first match of the night listed here on Wikipedia will be a singles match. Nia Jax taking on a new rival, Alicia Fox.
Well, from what I've seen on Raw, that is supposedly what's going to be taking place on the Night of Champions because it looks exactly the same as Night of Champions. I meant Clash of Champions pre-show. Supposedly Nia Jax, Alicia Fox, and I gotta tell you guys, this is just like a last breath of Alicia Fox's career, and it's just winding down. Nothing more than filler to try to make it look like Nia Jax has veteran competition to go against. Like, oh my God, if she beats Alicia Fox, you know, she's a veteran, blah, blah, blah. Like, get where WWE is going. Like, they think it will make Nia Jax look good when in turn, to me, never really did anything all that major for the company to begin with. This match itself, guys, oh my God. It's, bad. You know, it's not very entertaining. It just kinda is what it is. If you had to twist my arm and, you know, give me on who to pick on this, if I had to sit down and watch it, which of course I'll watch it, it would have to be without a doubt Jax. Nia Jax is going to clean the floor with Alicia Fox. She might even mop the floor with Alicia Fox's hair. I'm telling you, this is just how it's going to go down. Walking out victorious, no ifs, ands, whats, or buts about it. Nia Jax walking out and remaining undefeated on the main roster. What do you got for us, Sean? How are your feelings with all this?
Well, I am hearing, what the heck?
I just got a message from King that he's got brand new audio.
Okay, cool, man.
He said he got it all fixed.
Is it working?
Yep.
Yep.
Just make sure.
Yep, now make sure all your stuff is down. Yes, and we should do nothing to draw attention to ourselves. King.
Oh my God. Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Turn your TV down.
Yep, you gotta turn your TV down. Oh my God, you're Ethan Hawke. No, I'm not. Sorry, my
mistake. Oh my God, it's Ethan Hawke. Hooray for new phone.
Hey, so now that you got your audio fixed, how does it feel to be on?
It feels good without hearing static.
All right, so
would you be able to turn your TV down?
Yeah, you gotta mute it. You gotta mute the TV, King.
Okay, perfect. So, I'm hearing a little bit of different things with this upcoming match, Nia Jax versus Alicia Fox. A little birdie told me that Paige might be making a return at Clash of Champions. screwing over Nia Jax, helping out her Total Divas buddy Alicia Fox, and building herself a rivalry with Miss Jax. So my bet is Paige returns, screws over Nia, and Alicia Fox picks up the surprising win.
Hey, that would be pretty damn incredible there, Sean. King, what do you got for your Nia Jax Alicia Fox match?
Oh, I thought we were just testing out the audio. I didn't know y'all was live.
Yeah, we got the predictions going.
Wait. Why is this match even on the card?
It's,
oh my god.
It's on the pre-show. It actually made it, buddy.
Still, it doesn't need to be on the pre-show. Have some self-respect.
Yep. Who do you got?
It's gonna be the same outcome every single damn time. Nia's gonna win. There's no way around it.
We got it. Nia. King's picking Nia. I got Nia. Sean, you got Alicia with Alicia's friend coming back. So, wow, King's new audio sounds great too.
Definitely. All right. So the first ever WWE Cruiserweight Championship match since about 2006 or 7 or something like that will be happening this week at Clash of Champions. This Sunday night, TJ Perkins, the first Cruiserweight Classic winner and new WWE Cruiserweight champion, will be defending against former WWE Tag Team Champion Brian Kendrick in a singles match for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. This one's pretty tough for me. I didn't get to follow the Cruiserweight Classic as close as I would have liked to, but if I had a guess, I think Brian Kendrick's gonna get this belt because, like I've always say with these new championships, you have to mix it up. You have to build a record. There's nothing more pointless than bringing in a new champion if you're just gonna keep it on him for years on end or months on end, or like just build this record with this new belt. Switch it up, build new talent, use the belt to put new people over, and build great rivalries like the WWE needs so desperately. So I'm gonna go ahead and be bold, be brave, and be Brian Kendrick.
Great pick. Now I gotta tell you, Sean, I want Brian Kendrick to win. If you're a fan of his, I like him better. I want him to get that belt, but I just kind of got a feeling the Cruiserweight Classic, and after all TJ Perkins has overcome, and he was, you know, he was homeless, living in his car, you know, in his early days, and he fought his way through all the adversity, and he ended up becoming the star that he is today. I'm going to go ahead and pick TJ Perkins to get the victory and retain the Cruiserweight title. Even though I want Brian Kendrick to win, I'm picking TJ to retain. So now we got that out of the way. King, who you got for the Cruiserweight championship?
I just have a couple words for you.
All right.
Brian Kendrick comeback tour. They are going to put Brian Kendrick over as the first true Cruiserweight heel, and he is going to snatch that title from around TJ Perkins' waist. You think Vince cares about the storyline of him being homeless? They're going to smash that out of the window. Kendrick is stealing that from TJ Perkins.
It's actually a good story that Kendrick could turn heel here.
Did you see the Raw fallout after Kendrick won the match on Raw?
Oh no, I haven't seen that yet. If you could shed a little light to us with what's going on, feel free, because I did not see it. Sean, did you see it?
Nope.
It's not even anything special. They interview Perkins, and it's just a normal interview. Kendrick comes out of nowhere, just slaps him on the shoulder, enjoy it while it lasts, in the most, just like, I don't give a fuck about your feelings voice. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Wow. Well, there you heard it. I missed the Raw fallout. Sean missed it. At least our buddy King here seen it. And it's possible maybe a Brian Kendrick heel turn is in the works. That being said, Sean, what match do we got next, buddy?
Well, just real quick, I think King's definitely right. Kendrick is a natural heel, and I think he's going to excel greatly at that in the future. And I wish all the cruiserweights all the best. I'm so hyped for them, and here's to a great new division. But up next, we get Cesaro taking on Sheamus in a singles match, which will be the final match in a best-of-seven series, where
I might have to drop out of the call for this one.
Oh god. I believe Cesaro will pick up the victory and win the best of seven series. Or should I say the best of seven sleepies, because this has been boring as fucking everything boring combined. I mean, this is just painful. Sheamus sucks. Cesaro is underrated, and it's almost getting desperate. They don't know what to do with him, so they do this crap, and he almost gets really injured in the process. He's taped up more than, like, the freaking Michelin, man, and it's just awkward, man. I'm so bored with both of them at this point, and it sucks because Cesaro has so much potential, but I could care less about this. But for prediction's sake, Cesaro's going to win. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, because it's like McFoley said, all the winner gets a title opportunity. It's like, yeah, you know what we're going to see? Kevin Owens and Cesaro for the freaking like 100th time year. And without a doubt, Cesaro's going to win. I think Sheamus has to be on his way out of the door of the WWE soon. And trust me, if somehow, some way, Cesaro doesn't get the victory and Sheamus pulls this out, I don't know what to say about that. So Cesaro's got to get the victory here, win the best of seven sleepies, as Sean said it, because it's really not a series, and just put this all behind us and move forward, and that's that. And King, I know this pretty much makes you sick, but if someone had to twist your arm and make you do a pick.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
You really don't think they're going to get a title match, huh?
No, it's not that. Whoever wins the best of seven gets a title opportunity. Oh, if Sheamus wins, he's going to lose. If Cesaro wins, he's going to lose. Does it... Oh my god. Oh.
That's true. It doesn't matter.
I'll have to say Cesaro, cause I guess they're building up the comeback kid storyline where he fails and then he just wins every other one in order to get the W. Even though he's apparently injured.
Well, we got a great, we got a three-way sweep here on Cesaro. So I guess we're all picking Cesaro. I picked him too. Sean, moving on forward, what do we got?
We have the United States Championship match. The United States champion Rusev, along with his lovely new wife Lana, will be taking on the man, the guy, Roman Reigns. Oh, excuse me, Roman Reigns for the U.S. Championship. This one's tough. This one is a really tough prediction because
this is another match that doesn't fucking matter. Oh my God.
True. But it's a tough one to predict nonetheless. It is, it would be really shocking to see Roman not pick up the win after he just defeated Kevin Owens in a cage match clean. But it would also be pretty shocking to see Rusev lose this championship because he's on a bit of a run. I mean, when Rusev was the champion the last time, they tried really hard. You know, he had the match with Cena and, you know, that went okay. But at this point, like, he's sort of really relevant. He's almost in the top four on Raw. You have, you know, Rusev, Owens, Rollins, and Reigns, and it's hard. I mean, of course, Reigns is more prestigious on Raw than Rusev, but
the Golden Goose.
I'm torn if it's really 50-50, but just for the sake of likelihood, I'm gonna go with Roman Reigns picking up the win and the championship. I just don't see it. They're going to have to change some championships that night, for God's sakes. And I think, of course, it'll have to be Golden Goose, Roman Reigns to get the one, if any.
Oh, good Lord. I got to tell you, I definitely agree with your point, Sean. I really do. I agree with it. But I don't know. Something's telling me they didn't build up Rusev for nothing. They're gonna go along with this. I don't think they're gonna destroy everything Rusev has built up again, at least right now. Roman Reigns, if he loses, you know, he still has McMahon in his back pocket to get right back in the main event scene. So he really has a company safety net, if you will, when Rusev basically has nothing. So I'm hoping that WWE is gonna use their brain. Taking a gamble of a pick here, but I'm saying by hook or by crook, Rusev will retain the title. I just don't know if it's going to be by a disqualification, a count out.
You have to pick a winner, though.
See, now that's where this gets torn for me.
I have one thing to say.
Go ahead, King, while I think a little bit.
The Charlotte effect. The Charlotte effect. Rusev is going to win by the Charlotte effect. That means interference from any point of the ring. Any sliver of chance you think this is going to be a fair, clean match, the Charlotte effect is going to roll through and smack you square in the jaw. Rusev is retaining square hands down.
How is that the Charlotte effect when she beat Sasha clean twice at WrestleMania and SummerSlam?
I forgot about that. You kind of just...
Well, not WrestleMania, but SummerSlam, yes.
You threw my argument out the window. I forgot about that. SummerSlam wasn't a huge moment for me. Thank you for opening my eyes.
That she does it with flair.
You're picking Rusev then, King.
Yup, I'm picking Rusev.
Picking Rusev to get the W, I'm picking Reigns, Big T. How about yourself?
Rusev has, recently joined top tier. They're not gonna put him down yet.
When Roman's involved, yes they will.
See, that's what I'm thinking too, King, that Rusev is at that top tier. On a limb. I'm taking a chance, and I'm gonna say that I win the match, but with some kind of interference or distraction from Lana, Rusev will win the match.
It's a tough one. It is. Now, next up on Clash of Champions. For some reason, we have a non-championship match, which will be, I'm not complaining, I'm just...
Can we just get to the women's match? Oh my god.
King, we gotta complete, man, I know, we're all waiting for that, but we have Sami Zayn taking on future WWE Hall of Famer, Chris Jericho, in a singles match. My opinion on this is, Sami Zayn is the next big thing on Monday Night Raw, if not already the biggest underrated thing to ever be in the WWE. The crowd at Battleground, as I said once before, I will continue to say it for the rest of my life. I've never felt anything like it. He is more over than over. It's really incredible what he's done in such a short amount of time. I think, him and Chris Jericho are going to have a true classic, but at the end of the day, this is just one of those in-betweener type matches for Sami Zayn to continue to build his push. Sami Zayn will pick up the win against the former undisputed champion, Jericho.
Yeah, I have to agree. And I believe I told you this on the phone, Sean, that this match is nothing more than for Jericho to do his job, Sami Zayn, and push him along. And what better person to get a rub from for Sami Zayn than from the greatest living wrestler in the world today, Y2J Chris Jericho. So I say Sami Zayn gets the win over Jericho and elevates himself possibly into main event status with Kevin Owens, dare I say. So this is something that could really, really escalate him. Because Jericho has, you know, been a tag partner with Kevin Owens and all that stuff. So for Zayn to get the win would be a major push for Sami Zayn. That's what I'm going with. King, what about you?
Big T, I am definitely with you on that. Anyone that is in Chris Jericho's vicinity gets affected greatly. Notice how he's been friends with Kevin Owens on TV. He's the Universal Champion. He's been friends with AJ Styles. He's the World Heavyweight Champion. Put two and two yep. together. If you're in Chris Jericho's area, you're getting helped out. You're getting pushed in some type of way. Sami Zayn's winning.
Sami Zayn, clean sweep for Zayn. All right, Sean.
Now the moment King has been waiting so patiently for, the WWE Women's Champion Charlotte will be defending her title in a triple threat match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship this Sunday night at Clash of Champions in Indiana.
You can't take that back.
Indiana. Shut up, King. What do you think? This is going to be an all-out brawl with these ladies. I'm going to go ahead and pick that the woman with the natural selection, the woman who does it with flair, the WWE Women's Champion, will retain her gold, so rightfully so, because Bayley and Sasha are going to F each other over in one way or another, and you know, that's just the way it is. I think Charlotte's gonna win.
All right, and I gotta say that I think that. Sorry,
you okay?
Yeah, I had to throw up before I say this because this is absolutely disgusting that I have to say it, but it's like I know it's gonna happen. Charlotte is going to get the win in this match. Sasha and Bayley are going to go ahead and that's nothing to clap about. I just figuratively fucking threw up all over the place here, you know? It's sickening, you know? It really is sickening, but I know that they're going to have Bayley and Sasha feuding at each other. Charlotte's gonna get the win. This'll lead to Bayley and Sasha having a number one contenders feud, and oh my god, it's just gonna be a mess. So Charlotte's retaining. King, what about you?
I hate to agree with you so much right now.
So you're picking Charlotte?
I hate to agree with you too right now.
Well, you hate to do it, but you are. So King, it is a clean sweep for Miss Charlotte Flair to retain her championship. And now on to the tag team division. The New Day, Big E and Kofi Kingston and or Xavier Woods for some fucking reason. The tag team champions will be taking on the club, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, the best tag team on the planet. And like I said earlier, a couple of championships have to change hands here at Clash of Champions. And I hope to God, and I do believe that this will be one of them. The club will defeat the New Day by hook or by crook, as Big T would say. It's just gotta happen. And even if I'm wrong, I just refuse to, root for, Team Rainbow.
Ooh, there rocks.
Now this is the only title that I see changing hands on Sunday night. Gallows and Anderson will get it, like you said, like I always say it, by hook or by crook. How they do it, I don't know. I think Gallows and Anderson will do it. This will lead to a rematch at Hell in a Cell where Gallows and Anderson will retain again. And then by the time Survivor Series comes around, we'll have more tag teams coming into the picture. And then in TLC, I think it will be some kind of multi-man ladder match to, you know, crown tag champs. They're going to get a bunch of people involved here, but I think Gallows and Anderson are taking it on Sunday. Two tag team champions beating the New Day, ending the historic championship reign, tag championship reign. King, what about you? Well,
the only reason Gallows and Anderson are going to win is because titles have to change hands. You can't have a title like that without actual titles changing hands. Like if it wasn't a whole card filled with championship matches, then maybe the New Day would retain, and that's a big maybe, just because like they probably want to end their tag team reign and pass it on to someone else, because like another team needs the shine. But yeah, Gallows and Anderson are taking them.
Real quick, I've always wondered, like, would it ever be a tag team championship match possibly inside Hell in a Cell?
I would love that.
Because I've been hearing rumors online that it is being highly recommended for several matches at this year's Hell in a Cell to be contested inside the cell. One of which being the women's championship inside Hell in a Cell.
Don't play with my emotions like that.
But if you think about it, there's no better time than now to do that match.
You're right. The stars are actually aligning together for that, because, you know, Charlotte needs to be locked in a cage like the, you know, fair match put on. And that could happen. So great point there, Sean. I hope it does happen. And tag team titles in Hell in a Cell, I'm for it.
And the Universal inside Hell in a Cell. Now, yep. If I had a, you know, if you typically they would do two max, obviously it would have to be the Women's Championship and Universal Championship. So, you know, October's set to be a great month for the Red Brand, but until then, we have more Clash of Champions predictions. Actually, just one more. The main event, Kevin Owens, the Universal Champion, will be taking on the former WWE World Heavyweight Champion, the two-time World Heavyweight Champion, Seth Rollins.
Triple H is coming back. He has to. Triple H is coming back.
Now, this will be a singles match. No stipulations set as of yet. That could change, but it's highly unlikely because they are as creative as a wet paper bag nowadays. But I think I don't see Triple H coming back. I just don't. I mean, you have a great point that he could. Maybe I'm too big of a Seth Rollins fan to want that to happen.
Please, Paul. Please come back.
I see Seth Rollins picking up the win just because of what Evan was talking about earlier, that Kevin Owens is a weak and unvaluable champion that does not draw a lot of money, whereas Seth Rollins has a lot of money-making potential, and I think this Kevin Owens experience has flopped. In my... King's eating a candy bar over there. We'll let him finish.
No, I'm just crumpling up plastic.
You're ruining the show. I get it. Seth Rollins will pick up the victory and become the Universal Champion for the first time in his career and probably hold it until WrestleMania when Triple H, you know, will have to get his greedy, slimy paws all over it. But until
Seth Finn Rollins comes back.
Seth Rollins will be the champ.
Or until Finn comes back.
Finn Schmin.
Well, actually, Sean is Finn Balor, but...
I'm not coming back.
Sean, we need you in the ring.
But if I had to give a prediction, and yeah, I'm glad, Sean, that you stopped me earlier because I was just in, like, full mode... starting to come up with my storylines, and this is what I think is going to happen. I think King is right to a point. Say that, I'm a Seth Rollins fan. I want Seth Rollins to win. I really like Seth Rollins, but Kevin Owens is going to get the victory, no doubt, in my opinion. And I think it's going to be with some interference from Triple H, or somebody that Triple H hires to try to take out Rollins. Something's going to happen, and this is going to lead to a Hell in a Cell, because Rollins is going to say he's sick of the interference, he's sick of getting screwed, he wants Owens inside the cell, locked up like a caged animal where he can rip him apart, and I can just see it coming. I see it coming a mile away. So without a doubt, retain on Sunday, due to something, whether it be interference from Triple H or some kind of count out or disqualification on Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens will win and retain the championship. This is going to lead to Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins rivalry concluding inside Hell in a Cell a few weeks after this. But, that's exactly how I feel, and we're going to close out with the prediction portion here. King, give your prediction for the Universal title match.
I actually really, really, really want Seth to win, but I know he's not going to. Because when Triple H comes back, that's just like a whole storyline of Seth getting fucked over. I want Seth to win so bad, but they're not gonna let him until Hell in a Cell, at least.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. When Hell in a Cell comes, that's gonna be a game changer. And, you know, that's gonna change the game of everything, but I know, King, you've been asking to come on, predictions for a few months now, and you finally got the new audio, so I'm glad I was able to get you on here and, sign off because we got to move on to the closing segments of the show, but thanks for joining us, King.
Good to be on.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll talk to you soon, maybe on a Raw broadcast or something.
Okay. See you.
All right. See you later.
See you, buddy. All right. Now, Big T, that was our night of Clash of Champions predictions. And it is that time of the week. It is already time for This Day in
wrestling history. It is September 22nd, 2016. Who wants to know what happened 20 years ago today? I'm sure you do. Well, I'll answer your question.
I have an idea. Should I guess it or do you want to say it?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead for a guess.
Is it the best match to end in a disqualification ever? Is it one of the most infamous matches of all time at an in-your-house pay-per-view called Mind Games in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania?
You are right. But
yes.
That's not all, man. That is not all. But first of all, 20 years ago today, 20 freaking years ago today, like you said, at the Core States Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I've never even heard of that. I doubt it's still open. But anyway, 15,000 people were in attendance for WWF In Your House Mind Games. That was In Your House 10. With about 162,000 homes watching on pay-per-view, that was up 40,000 from In Your House 9 International Incident, and about the same as In Your House 3 Triple Header held in September 1995. But anyway, the show saw the professional wrestling debut of Mark Henry, just weeks removed from participating in the Summer Olympics 1996 in Atlanta, Georgia, USA. In a pre-show free-for-all match, Savio Vega defeated Marty Jannetty. Savio Vega then defeated Justin Bradshaw in a Caribbean strap match, and Jose Lothario defeated Jim Cornette. Owen Hart and the British Bulldog defeated the Smoking Guns, Bart and Billy Gunn, to win the WWF Tag Team Championship. Mark Henry defeated Jerry Lawler in a singles match and his pay-per-view and WWE debut all in once. The Undertaker defeated Goldust in a curtain call match, and like you alluded to, Shawn Michaels, HBK, defeated Mankind, Mick Foley, by disqualification to retain the WWF Championship. But if 20 years ago was a Sunday, and that would mean that 19 years ago, of course, was a Monday, which means we had a Monday Night Raw, Raw is War episode 19 years ago today from Madison Square Garden in New York City, baby, where one of the most quintessential moments in wrestling history took place. Man, oh man, I am honored to be able to bring you this bit of wrestling history here tonight. 19 years ago tonight, September 22nd, 1997. Despite taping most of the first 2 years of the show from, despite taping most of the first 2 years of the show from New York City, this was the WWF's, signature show debut in the Garden. The show is highlighted by two of Raw's greatest moments, the WWF debut of Cactus Jack Mick Foley, most famous persona, and Stone Cold Steve Austin stunning Vince McMahon for the first time, planting the seed for the historic Austin McMahon feud. Despite the blockbuster show, it was still trounced by WCW Nitro in the ratings by more than a full point. That's more than a million viewers. 3.7 for Nitro and a very pathetic 2.4 for Monday Night Raw is War. Ahmed Johnson defeated Rocky Maivia in a WWF Intercontinental Championship Tournament quarterfinal match. And the Legion of Doom, Road Warrior Animal, and Road Warrior Hawk defeated the Nation of Domination, Farouk, and Kama Mustafa by disqualification. Owen Hart defeated Brian Pillman, may they both rest in peace, via disqualification in a WWF Intercontinental Championship Tournament semifinal match. And the debut of Cactus Jack, who defeated Triple H in a brutal street fight. I loved it. Bret Hart, the Hitman, defeated Goldust in one-on-one competition. And, of course, we had the stunner to stun them all, Stone Cold Steve Austin, stunned the owner and CEO of the WWF, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, and the rest is this week in wrestling history.
Absolutely incredible, Sean. I remember these shows as if it was yesterday. Getting to witness Mind Games 96 with Mick Foley and, you know, HBK Shawn Michaels. Mick Foley has stated many times on different shows and, you know, on different WWE DVD productions that match with Shawn Michaels was his all-time favorite match that he ever had as a performer, even over Hell in a Cell with The Undertaker. That match with Shawn Michaels at Mind Games 96 is Mick Foley's all-time favorite match. And that event was awesome. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. But to go to the first ever Raw in the Garden, I mean, absolutely incredible. It really is incredible. Because if you really think about it, Cactus Jack and Triple H in like that hardcore match, Cactus getting the pile driver on Triple H, you know, through the table on top of the stage. And that's not the only historic battle that Triple H and Mick Foley would have in the Garden. They would go on to have another classic battle in the Garden 3 years later, or 2.5 years later at the Royal Rumble in the year 2000 in an epic street fight for the WWF title when Triple H pedigreed Mick Foley's face into thumbtacks. So, but the biggest thing is the Austin and McMahon rivalry seeds being planted. That first stunner that was heard around the world, absolutely incredible. You know, McMahon just falling into a heap in the mat. Austin getting arrested by police officers, just absolutely insane. But I gotta tell you, one of the best shows from the Garden ever. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch it on the WWE Network. Absolutely incredible. I mean, today in wrestling history can't get much better than what Sean just talked about, but something else, guys. Anyway, that pretty much brings to a close episode number 19. I'll have all the links down below if you want to check out, you know, the interviews I did in episode 17 and 18 with Johnny Knockout and Dave Dawson. All those links will be below. Just been an incredible episode number 19. I've really enjoyed myself tonight, and I really appreciate you guys for joining us tonight. Sean, do you have any closing things that you would like to say on this historic episode number 19?
Merci beaucoup. Au revoir.
All right, buddy. Sean, he just told us in French. Told us something in French. I don't know exactly what it is, but let's see. Sean? Hello? I don't know what Sean's microphone is under, but I can't hear him at all.
Hello?
There we go.
I said, merci beaucoup, au revoir, which means thank you very much and goodbye.
Hey, that's awesome, man. I start bringing a little more of French to the podcast every week. I think that would be a great thing.
We're going global.
Sir, and what time is it, Sean? What do we usually do right about now to close out brand new episodes of this podcast?
That
means EC3 in France.
There we go. You heard it from Sean. So you guys know how we're going to close out this epic episode number 19, which I had a blast. Your predictions in the comments. down below and all that good stuff. And let us know what you think will happen at Clash of Champions. Thank you very much, everybody, for watching. We're going to have EC3 closeout episode number 19 here. All right, here we go. Thank you very much for watching. Sean and I will be back here next week. Check in with you guys for, let's see, episode number 20 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. Getting bigger, stronger, better by the week. So that'll be the Clash of Champion reviews, Raw and SmackDown reviews, all that good stuff. So make sure you guys join us next week. So thank you very much for watching. Leave those comments and leave those likes and don't forget to subscribe. And we will see you for next week for episode number 20 of the podcast. And boom, here's Mr. EC3. The two-time TNA World Heavyweight Champion, EC3, Ethan Carter III, and the current number one contender for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship at Bound for Glory. He's going to ride us on off into the sunset, close out episode 19, and we will see you for episode number 20. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.
Well, this is EC3 of TNA Wrestling, and you are so very fortunate because you are watching Beyond the Ring with Big T.